Welcome to the Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk, a show committed to educating, empowering, and entertaining you while saving you thousands. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. It's time to gain knowledge and become the guardian of your financial future. I want to thank our sponsor, Cornerstone Mortgage, known for having the lowest rates and the smoothest closings.
If you have a question you would like addressed on the air, you can call or text the show at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-3684. All the information from our show is on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com.
Smartwithyourmoney.com. It's a very, very popular site out there now. It's interesting seeing all the thousands of hits we're getting on that every single week as a personal finance blog. And I am joined today by my co-host, my beautiful wife, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome, Tammy.
It's good to be here. And since we're going to talk about being smart with your money, we're going to start off with the fundamental financial principles.
Yeah. So when people talk about what's your show all about, I mean, we talk about being smart with your money. We talk about everything around money, but what are the fundamental financial principles that we believe in? Mm-hmm. What are the, what is the foundation that we believe in? And we're going to say, we're going to tell you what these are, and maybe you'll agree with them, maybe you won't. We'd love to hear your feedback. So, Tammy, you ready to jump into this?
Yeah. I think it's important to kind of preface this a little bit about, it's important to kind of create a financial plan. And understanding where you are and where you want to be is always, that's the desire. Your desired, we call it the desired reality. Because your current reality, you might be in a situation where you feel like heck, most of us live paycheck to paycheck, or you're broke, or you're worried, or you're stressed. And your desire to get somewhere other than where you are, what does it take to get there? And so that's what these financial principles will help you bridge that gap, as we call it, as we say it. And that's our intention here. So let's go with number one.
All right. So very first financial principle is living below your means. Mm-hmm. Okay. We see this all the time where people have lifestyle inflation. And I had somebody tell me at a really young age that, and I think this was probably a little bit exaggerative and maybe a little hyperbole, but he said, no matter what your income level, you should be able to save 50% of everything you make. Now, I don't know that 50% is realistic by the time you take out taxes. And at the time, I thought it was ridiculous because I wasn't making very much money. And I thought, there's no way you save 50%. Well, let's just say 10%. No matter what your income level, you should be able to save 10% of your income. Well, the only way that happens is by living below your means. And I see people make financial decisions to go buy a car or go buy their next house without having, Tammy, what you mentioned in the beginning, and that's a really clear vision for where you want to go financially and like thinking long term when you're acting in the short term. And
right.
As we're making the decisions about what house we want to live in, what car we want to drive, all of those things, like most of what we think we need and what makes us happy is all in our head.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It's all in our head.
It is. And basically what makes up living below your means is wants versus needs, avoiding lifestyle inflation, and keeping expenses low. And so once you understand, I used to take the kids to the store and I want this, Mom. I want that. I want the gum. I want this. I want this toy. And I would always ask, do you need that toy? Do you need that piece of gum? And of course, they get no.
Well, if they're young enough, they may say, yes, I need it.
Yeah. And that did happen. But as they got older, it was definitely easier to reason with. And so it doesn't change when we're adults to ask ourselves those simple questions. I had a friend that I was helping with. She had basically a shopping addiction, and I'm not much of a shopper, but she wanted me to go out with her and help her because she couldn't figure out what her emotional triggers were. And so we kind of went out and I would ask her, do you need another coffee cup or do you need another t-shirt? And so once she started kind of doing that, it really helped her figure that stuff out. So that was good. And you're a big one with you can explain the avoid lifestyle inflation, Doug, a little bit on that.
Well, when lifestyle inflation, what it is that you know, we're all making, well, most of us are making more money than we were at one point. So as you're younger, you know, work a high school job, maybe you're making minimum wage and you get some college job, you're making a little more. And then once you get out of school, whether it's getting out of high school or college, but pick a career, you would hope that your wage starts to go up over time, and then it may go back down in retirement again. But lifestyle inflation is that as your wage goes up, you continually raise your expenses to match it. So mm-hmm. some people, I mean, I see people that make $300,000 a year, they're still spending more than they're making.
Right.
I mean, you see it with celebrities right. all the time when they're yeah. they have their entourage. There's this, the ego wants to think that the money's going to last forever.
Yeah, and then there's little tips with, you know, if you do get a raise, and we'll talk about this a little later about what you can actually do with that instead of just gathering more things.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're talking about the fundamental financial principles that we believe in, and we hope that you believe in too. And we'd love to hear your feedback on these. If you agree with them, if you don't agree with them, let us know. Visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com and send us some comments on there. Hit the contact form and shoot us some messages, and we'll talk about them on the air next week. So the next fundamental financial principle is having a written budget.
Right.
Okay. Not just some people will form a budget in their head. I mean, everybody has a certain budget, but it's not always a written budget. Mm-hmm. And a written budget is about awareness, that it puts awareness to the amount of money you're spending. And it doesn't have to be confining, because just because you have a budget doesn't mean you have to give up every vice.
Correct.
You're into cars, you're into electronics, you're into, you know, Tammy, whatever the girl things are that people are into, that
power
typically
tools.
Include you. It's okay. Just put it into the budget and have right. awareness around how much you're actually spending on it in the scheme of things.
Right. It's just knowing what you're saying, knowing what your absolute expenses are. And that's what that will help you bring awareness for your financial growth. So you've always mentioned, Doug, that people should analyze 6 months of spending.
Yes, I think that the way to start out with your budget is, if you don't have one right now, is you go back and you look at, where did you spend your money the last 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back a year, even is better, because then you know over the course of a year, what did you really spend? But just looking at the last 6 months, easy way I like to do it is you can go into your bank accounts and export all your transactions to Excel. You can even do that from your credit card statements too. And then in Excel, I'll just sort them and be able to see, I'll sort them by the payee and be able to see all the charges at a certain restaurant or all the charges at gas stations and put them together. So that's just one easy way to manage it and do a written budget. We have resources on our website too. If you need any budgeting tools, you can go to smartwithyourmoney.com and look for the resources section, and you can download some of the budget forms that we offer on there for free.
Mm-hmm.
So next fundamental financial principle, Tammy,
is save first, then spend what's left.
Versus the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go through what this means. So what most people do is they spend money, and then if there's anything that happens to be left over at the end of the month, that's what goes into savings, or that's what goes into investments. People that accumulate wealth do the opposite. Okay, they know how much they're making, and they decide a certain percent of their income or a certain dollar figure that they're going to save, and they put that money aside first, then they spend what's left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it seemed like an argument of semantics, but the person in the scenario that decides to save first will always save more money. And this is the advantage of a 401k or any kind of plan that takes the money right out of your paycheck,
right.
is it's voluntary and that you have to opt into it, but you don't have to think about it on a weekly or monthly basis. It just happens.
Right.
So if you can automate your savings, mm-hmm. even out of what you take out of your bank account, that's a better way to do it psychologically.
Mm-hmm. We had a friend that actually, she had received a pay increase. And so this was a battle, because she saw it as like she had current bills that she was meeting fine, and she was saving what she was set up to save. But with the increase in her head, she deserved that money and deserved to spend it how she wants to. And what we were trying to coach her on is that it's important to save that money. Just because you got extra, just put it into savings. And then if a tire goes flat or your car gets crunched or whatever happens, like now you have that in savings to be able to pay, or family vacation, like she's wanting to go on vacation. If you save that first, then you'll have it on the on that particular part. So there's other ways, though, if you have that pay increase on ways you can save. You can up your 401k or start a new IRA or however you want to do it.
So, all right. So next fundamental financial principle is to maximize your credit scores. Mm-hmm. And there are, there's another personal finance expert out there who basically encourages you to opt out of credit scoring altogether, pay cash for everything, and he's okay with having a zero credit score. To me, that is a major, major, major mistake, because so many things in our country are built on your credit score.
Fortunately or unfortunately, that is right. How it is.
I don't like playing the credit game. I don't enjoy it one bit, but it is absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, dealing with politics at work or dealing with, you know, a boss sometimes. Sometimes people just don't have any choice in the matter. We don't have any choice the fact that there is a credit scoring system. Mm-hmm. And even if you have a zero credit score because you pay cash for everything, you don't pay cash for your cell phone bill. They're going to base
insurance.
That on. Right. Your insurance, car insurance, home insurance. All those rates are going to be based on your credit score.
Right. With a zero credit score, those rates, you got to be willing. You got to almost play the return on idea instead of return on investment. The return on that idea is, you know, you're going to pay higher fees in those other areas. So,
okay. So next on our list is to minimize credit card usage. Okay. Because we're not saying, first off, definitely not saying do not have credit cards, because if you're going to maximize your credit score, which was the last point, you have to have credit cards. It's 30% of your credit score comes from your credit card usage. So when we say minimize credit card usage, is in general, don't use credit cards for your spending. Use, if you don't have the cash, then you shouldn't be buying it. Now, I'll give a caveat to that, that if there are some people that use rewards cards, and if you're somebody who's disciplined enough to use rewards cards and pay it off every single month, then I guess I'm okay with that. But I would definitely caution you, if you're going to do that, you know, do not, you have to pay it off every month. The whole reason they give rewards on those rewards cards is because most people don't pay it off every month.
Right.
So right. Very, very, very important.
Right. All right. And so the next one is managing the details of life. So all right. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, there are a lot of directions we can go with this, Tammy. So managing the details in life, your first is to plug the leaks. Okay, plug the leaks means that avoiding all the extra fees that happen, you know, when you manage the details in life, overdraft charges, late fees. If you're one day late on a credit card payment, it's like a $39.99 late fee.
Something. Yeah,
it's crazy.
So it's extra money. For
that. I mean, you'll waste so much money. I mean, I've seen people.
Yeah, what's the biggest overdraft fees you've come across?
Yeah, so I mean, I've watched people that, when I analyzed 12 months of bank statements, had over $10,000 in overdraft fees.
Yeah.
Now, if you even have a couple hundred dollars in overdraft fees, that's too much. You know, I'm talking in a year.
Right.
So I don't like having overdraft protection on bank accounts even. Banks love it when you have overdraft protection, because
they
hit you for $15 every time you overdraft, and it pulls from savings.
So even just before you start plugging the leaks and all that, you really need to create a system for your paperwork. So here's the thing. If you lay a bill on the kitchen table, and then some bills are over on the coffee table, and some bills are in your bedroom, or some bills are in the office, or whatever your system is, creating that system and keeping up with that and having a process to be able to enter it in, create the folders. Doug likes a label maker. So he has them all in folders and labeled up. But and then we have a system where we put the mail and what we do. So, and who's in charge of it. And that's the system that we're talking about.
Yeah, so having a system for your medical bills. A couple other quick points, because we're out of time, is avoid recurring expenses. So avoid signing up for anything that gives you the first month free, and then it starts to charge you a monthly fee. So that's part of that on recurring expenses. But other recurring expense I'm talking about is the gym membership, the Netflix bill, Amazon Prime, cable. You have to really analyze all of those expenses that we add on. And about every 6 months, I have to go through and analyze those expenses, and I call it offense versus defense. My defense is about every 6 months, I have to go through and start looking at what's necessary and what can I cut out of those where my family is not going to disown me.
Right.
So if you want to know more about these fundamental financial principles, two things I want you to remember. Number one is, if you want to visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com, there'll be a blog post on this, fundamental financial principles. And then second thing I want you to remember is, if you're looking to buy a house or refinance a house, okay, I'm a mortgage professional, but as a mortgage professional, I'm also a personal finance expert. And what I really like to help my clients do is make sure that the mortgage they select integrates into their long and short-term financial and investment plan, make sure they maximize the tax benefits of home ownership, and make sure they have a proper debt strategy so that when they buy a house, it's going to work for them rather than against them. So if you are in that situation, or you know anybody that's in the situation where they want advice on a home loan, definitely reach out to me. You can call me or text me at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG. Doug is 3684, the numbers for it. So coming up, we're going to be talking about, in a competitive market, when you're trying to buy real estate where there are multiple offers, how to write an offer letter that's going to get your offer accepted before other buyers. You listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.